Hi, I'm Chloe Seveny. We're here in the Provincetown Film Festival in lovely Provincetown, Massachusetts.
This year you were honored with the Excellence in Acting Award. How does that feel?
I mean, it's always a pleasure to be honored. Feels really good. I mean, I have a history with Provincetown and a lot of friends that spend a lot of time here, and it's just nice to spend some time and, you know, meet the people here that put on the festival and the other filmmakers and go to the beach and, you know, all that jazz.
You have a couple of movies, one that you directed, I understand, and also one that you were in. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I had a short film showing in the Shorts Program 1 called Kitty that I directed. It's based on a Paul Bowles short story, also titled Kitty. And then I had a feature film, Beatrice at Dinner, that played. It's now showing also in New York and Los Angeles.
So what are the projects you're working on? I understand you have a Lizzie Borden project.
I do. I have that. We're hoping to find distribution, maybe make it into some festivals. Maybe we'll come back here next year with it. I don't know. We'll see. And I'm in a few other features coming out. They'll be rolling out soon. The Snowman with Michael Fassbender. Also Golden Exits.
We do ask a couple little political questions, if you would be so kind to see what you can do with it. How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in a Trump administration?
I just think everyone has to keep active and, you know, not let him or the administration normalize things that aren't normal, and just stay vocal and stay present and keep fighting the good fight and getting the word out there as much as we can.
You know, with LGBTQ teens 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, what advice would you have for these kids dealing with this new administration? I mean, some of these kids are fortunate enough to live through the Obama administration. What advice would you have for these kids?
I guess I would advise them to join ranks, find peers, find strength in numbers. If they're feeling really alone and isolated, you know, I think there's a great network on the internet, and they could just find like-minded people to protect them and inspire them. And reaching out to elders, I think, is really important. And young people can find a lot of strength in that. I think that, you know, older communities have, like, the struggle that they lived through and fought for. And, you know, I think they could really inspire and help young kids, you know, mobilize.
Great answer. Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
A favorite quote or mantra? Well, I was raised Catholic, so usually when I'm having anxiety, I'll just do some repetitive prayers. Just, you know, it's not necessarily that I believe in all of it, but I do find comfort in it.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're with Jay Critchley, who's a multimedia artist, longtime resident of Provincetown, and this year he was actually honored for all of his great work and support of the Provincetown Film Festival. Hi, Jay.
Good morning.
So, have you seen some good movies this year?
You know, I did. I saw a movie called Wound, W-O-U-N-D, which is just incredibly compelling, violent, dark, and shocking. It's about a South African black community, initiation rites, and three of the characters end up, you know, having a homosexual connection, and it's really powerful.
What projects are you working on these days?
Well, you know, since there's an exciting occupant of the White House, as we all know, I have a project called The Whiteness House. And I'm looking at race and ethnicity relating to the fact that a White House that had a black president now has a white president. And what does whiteness mean? You know, I think that the issue has become... You know, we tend to think of ethnicity as colors other than white. So I'm looking at whiteness and how, you know, various shades of white. And so the project, I'm actually going to be creating a model of the White House tarred and feathered. The idea that it's tarred and feathered, and I want to create a large-scale walk-in model. And then artists can project onto the feathers. You know, the idea is, who are we tarring and feathering? Are we being tarred and feathered, or are we tar and feathering? Then it's about humiliation, you know, the tar and feathering.
So how do you see our LGBT community moving forward in a Trump administration?
By each of us taking those risks, those creative risks, and creating projects that push the limits a little bit, but also working in, obviously, in community. I mean, it needs to be like many levels, from personal to communal to political. And I think it's happening. You know, the resistance is, there's staying power to it. And I think the film festival here is one, Provincetown is certainly a place where it's always been inclusive. This is a great American story that we're telling here about how we fought and worked with people with AIDS when the government was doing nothing. And I think pushing forward as we approach 400, the 400th anniversary of the pilgrims arriving here, you know, we have a story to tell. It's an exciting place to be.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times?
De gustibus non est disputandum. My mother, you know, was an English major, and also we all took Latin. And it means basically each one to his or her own taste. It allows me to be who I am and allow other people to be who they are.
We're with Michael Musto, who's a columnist for Out.com. So what brought you to Provincetown this year, Michael?
Well, it's a great diversity of films. And also last night I led the Q&A for Suzanne Barsh on Top, which is a documentary about the longtime party promoter Suzanne Barsh. And I'm in the film, and it's beautifully photographed. I was hoping it would go to some darker places in her life because she's worthy of a miniseries, but it's really great to look at.
It would be nice if that was turned into some sort of a feature film.
I'm sure it will be, because I know they're doing a TV miniseries about RuPaul's early life, and RuPaul is in this documentary because Suzanne gave RuPaul a big break and had Ru hosting events and, you know, emceeing on stage, and Ru is seen giving a lot of gratitude to Suzanne for giving Ru that break when he needed it.
What other films are you going to try to grab while you're here?
Well, I've already seen After Louis, which is Vincent Gagliostro's film. Alan Cumming plays a man who's been through ACT UP, his lover died of AIDS, and he's bitter about what he had to go through and wants to basically punish the younger gays because they didn't have to go through what he did. And they come to the table with rights given already. They can get married. And he has to learn to adapt to the changes and realize that actually he's part of the reason things have changed for the better for the younger gays, because he did fight in the streets. So I thought that was fascinating. It brought back the ACT UP era as well as tapping into the current feeling among young gays.
So how do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration?
Well, just like nightlife, the LGBTQ community thrives under oppression. You try to push us down, we will kick you in the ass. So keep pushing, Mr. Trump, because we're not taking it lying down, and we're out the street. We're fighting you every which way. We're more bonded than ever. We fought AIDS. We could deal with you. We've dealt with horrible diseases.
What are the projects you're working on?
My singing has been coming back. I used to have a band, as you know, Charlotte, a band called Michael Musto and the Must, where we did Motown songs, and people have started asking me to perform again. And Alan Cumming is actually doing a club called Club Cumming, which is the old East Village Bar, Eastern Block. In September, it's going to be Club Cumming. And they want me to do a show of duets. So I want to actually duet with Alan and Bridget Everett and people like that.
That's great. Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
For me, it's, I think Bette Davis said, I did it the hard way. I do everything the hard way. Nothing came easily to me. Nothing was handed to me on a plate. I created myself. So I know I can get through anything because I did it myself. People helped me, like you. But basically, I'm a self-created person. Nobody said be an out gay writer, but it did turn out to be good for my career. So I just keep trucking along, and I'm proud of the young gays who are joining the parade.
My name is Sarah Wharton, and I'm the producer and actor of a film called The Ring Thing. It's about marriage. We shot part of it here in Provincetown, and I play a character who accidentally proposes to her girlfriend on the beach. And then, as you can imagine, chaos ensues. This brings up a topic of marriage between them that they've never discussed before. So Sarah goes on a journey to make a documentary about what marriage really means in pursuit of the answers to all these questions she's having about the institution and herself.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
We just really want to give people a feeling of community. I think that marriage can be really lonely. It's really hard, and it's not something that we talk about very often, especially how much the institution has changed and what it really means to be married in 2017. I think that there are so many different kinds of relationships and different ways to be married, but we have this cultural expectation of what marriage should be. And so our film is trying to sort of break apart that Disney tale about the happily ever after, because it's just not true. So we want to give people another option to think about.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in a Trump administration?
That's a really good question. I see the LGBT community being incredibly strong and organized. We always have been, and we've always been at the forefront of progress and protest. And so I think during this time that feels incredibly difficult and challenging, and like people's rights are being taken away, I think we have to keep letting love win, keep holding hands, keep kissing, not get discouraged, and really advocate for all of the progress that we've made already and make sure that that doesn't go backwards.
What other projects are you working on?
I'm working on a film called Bite Me, and it's about a subculture of people who believe that they are vampires and the IRS agent who audits them. It's a romantic comedy, and it's a ton of fun to work on. I'm producing the film, and Naomi McDougall-Jones is the writer.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get through difficult times?
Everything will be okay. It's the screensaver on my computer. I think that it's easy to get wrapped up in a present moment that feels really difficult, but when you get on the other side of it, you have that perspective. And if you can just sort of put yourself in the future, write a letter to your future self and say, everything is going to be okay, this too shall pass, that's been helpful to me in my life.
My name is P. David Ebersole.
And I'm Todd Hughes, and we're a husband and husband team who co-directed and produced Mansfield 66-67.
So tell us about your film.
It's about the last years of Jane Mansfield's life, hence 66-67. And, you know, she dies in this terrible car accident. But some people say that it was caused or encouraged by a curse that was put upon her because she got involved with the head of the Church of Satan, and that he put a curse actually on her bad boyfriend. She was involved with this lawyer, Sam Brody. And the curse put on Sam led to 7 car accidents, ultimately the fatal one that took both of their lives.
What would you like to accomplish with this film?
First of all, it's something we've wanted to do forever. It's a story that is unbelievable to believe. Perfect example of the late 60s, how mad the world was. You know, Jane Mansfield was an anti-Vietnam activist. Who knew? You wouldn't even put her in context of Vietnam. And that the Church of Satan sort of sprung up had nothing to do with the devil. It was just stop. You know, the 7 sins are made to keep us down. Let's reverse that and practice the 7 sins and do them really well. It was early New Age hedonism. So it's just a great little portrait of a time that's so much more diverse than it is today. There was just so much more intellectual thought going on, so many more clashing cultures. And, you know, it seems like today things have become so homogenous. And Jane Mansfield being the original Kim Kardashian, right? Who was the original reality star who would do anything for publicity. It was just character this brilliant woman had concocted, right? Hopefully make a buck. Because she lived in a pink palace. She also lived this Hollywood lifestyle that no one would ever dream of today.
2 things also is that I think we really want to bring Jane Mansfield's legacy back alive. We have made this sort of, you know, campy, wild story in order to celebrate her. And I think that we always say there's no possible way that you can leave our movie without having fallen back in love with Jane Mansfield. Most people have never seen one of her movies. She's sort of what we call a Hollywood Boulevard star. She died young, so she's on t-shirts. So everybody always remembers who she is, but they don't really know that she was so funny, that she's so gorgeous, that she had so much intellect, and that she was such a unique and interesting person. So we love the idea that through the gossipy tone of our movie, we draw people in to be able to really find out who Jane was.
What other projects are you working on?
Currently, we're working with our dear friend Mary Warnoff, who is in the film as well. She has a book called Confessions of a Cult Queen. That, once again, how we can do something sort of out of the box instead of a standard documentary. And then we have a friend named Michael Schmidt, who's a very famous designer. And we had previously worked with Cher. We did a documentary about her mother. So Michael, David and I went to see Cher in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, and Michael told us the story of how Cher started his career when he was just a kid in New York City, and we were like, I think we could go from there.
And now he's done everything from Madonna's tours to dresses for Rihanna, the jewelry for Lady Gaga on American Horror Story. He did the razor blade dress of Debbie Harry that was in the Museum of Modern Art. He basically is creating the looks of all of these things that we're so in love with and helping to form and shape the idea of that culture. So we're just sort of fascinated by him and we're just exploring it at the moment.
He's also kind of an interesting part of queer history. He ran a club in New York in the 80s called Squeeze Box, I think. So just this guy who's behind every iconic lady out there today.
We always ask a couple of political questions. So how do you see our LGBT community moving forward in this Trump administration?
Well, we just went to the March on Washington and we moved forward quite easily.
Yeah, it's an interesting time because even what the March on Washington was about was not letting them attack the rights that we already have. We've gotten to a certain level, we've gotten to a certain place of acceptance in culture that we've never really been at before, and now we have this hostile environment that's looking at things and talking about removing rights and stripping things back, and so it feels very dangerous. There is no imminent threat. It's not like they've actually said we're going to do X, such, and Y, but you can tell by the tone of what they're doing to everything else that, you know, we're on the chopping block in terms of our rights. So I think it's a time to stand up, to be seen, and to let them know that the numbers are there. That's what felt great about the March on Washington. It was a positive march. It was not actually as much against anything as much as it was for the idea of saying, we're a strong community, we're here, we're numbers, and we're not afraid anymore of anything. And I think that's a really strong place to be coming from. So I think we're in a good spot, but we feel the peril.
But remaining active, even in a time of peace, to make sure they remember who we are.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
We have a relationship secret, which is no deal breakers. So no matter what happens in our life, we know it's never bad enough that we can't get through it together. And there's, you know, nothing you have to ever cover up or lie about. And I guess in work, too, it's just we can't have a failure because there's no deal breaker. It's like whatever we do is what happens, and we know we'll get through to the other side. And
we also talk about how important it is, and this sort of goes to politics, I think, as well, but that we talk about how you have to remember that the other person is on your side, because you begin to feel, as an individual, no matter what you do in life, you begin to feel like potentially like people are against you or something is going to attack you or there's something that will bring you down. But we always say to each other, it's like, remember I'm on your side. And also, I have to remember that you are on my side as opposed to even reminding the other person. So it's like knowing that you are Hillary, stronger together, is something that we've always embraced.
We're with John Waters at the Provincetown Film Festival for our annual catching up and seeing what's happening with John. So, John, tell us about your new book.
Booklet? Yeah. That's Make Trouble. I just finished a whole tour on that. It was my commencement speech that I did at RISD that went viral and then it became an illustrated book. So Eric Hansen did the illustrations, the same guy that did the cover of Role Models, which I like very much. So I always said if I could draw, Eric draws how I would draw, pitifully and elegantly, I hope. And it's my speech. It's advice to young people how to make trouble.
So what films have you caught that you think are fabulous this year?
Well, I have to be careful. I never mention movies I'm in because it feels like that's like asking to blurb your own movies. And I'm in, have you ever seen a documentary I'm not in? But anyway, Tom of Finland I really loved. And I love this movie called The Strange Ones really, really a lot. So I would say, and I like Jennifer Crute's documentary, Tales of the City, that one. So And I'm in the other ones that I like that I can't talk about, but they're good. The Mansfield one's good. It has great shots of her, of Jane, that I had never seen before. I never saw it till last night. So, yeah, I go to the movies. I'm going to leave here and go to a movie.
How do you see our LGBT community moving forward in this Trump administration?
Get angry. What are college students studying? You ought to be in the street. There ought to be a demonstration every day. I'd go to them.
What other projects are you working on?
Mr. Know-It-All is a book I've been writing for 2 years, which is a regular book, you know, not a gift book. And it's advice how to avoid respectability at 70 if you actually end up getting it.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
It's in Make Trouble. I always say a no is free. You can't fear rejection in show business. You got to keep asking for what you want. And then the one that, it's like hitchhiking. You only need one car to stop. Five cars don't stop when you're hitchhiking. That's a problem. if five cars stop in show business, well, that's an auction. That's good. But all you need is one to say yes to have the project happen. So if 50 people say no, who remembers them?
Thank you so much, John.
Right.
Catherine Diekman, and my film is Strange Weather.
Tell us about your film.
My film is a story about a woman who's played by Holly Hunter, who has suffered a loss and goes on a mission of vengeance with her best friend, who's played by Carrie Coon, and discovers her mission of vengeance actually has to become another mission, which is more about sort of self-forgiveness and moving on in life.
So how is it being a woman director these days?
Being a woman director is complicated. I mean, I think in some ways it's getting much, much better because, you know, Sofia Coppola just won at Cannes, and I think the visibility of women is definitely shifting. At the same time, when it comes to building a real career as a female filmmaker, I think it's still incredibly difficult. And for some reason, in movies, there's this iconic idea of the male director, which women can't penetrate, so to speak. It seems like women are making a lot more progress in television, actually, than in film. And I think that's partly because we see male movie directors as these heroic dudes, you know, and there's not really a place for women to step into so easily in that model.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
What I'd like to accomplish with my work, I guess, is to push at the borders of stereotypes about characters, and especially not just about women, but in general stereotypes. I mean, Strange Weather is not just about a woman in her 50s who still has sex and is vibrant and active and alive and, you know, not a psycho and not an alcoholic, which is what we usually see when we see women in their 50s in films. But also, I really wanted to deal in that movie with stereotypes about the South. I shot the film in Mississippi, and I get very impatient with representations of the South as a bunch of, like, backward rube people, because that's totally not the truth. So I guess I try when I make something to kind of shove a little bit at what is presumed.
What other projects are you working on?
I'm developing a film that I'm going to shoot next summer, which is, again, about a woman in her 50s, just coincidentally more than anything else, but a very unconventional female character at the center of it again, with even more sex than I had in my last movie, so I'm excited about that. And then I'm really kind of focusing on TV stuff, because I think that's a better arena for the kind of work I want to do than movies at this point. I still love movies, but...
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Wow, that's such a good question. Rise above is one. I've often thought about having rise above just tattooed inside my left pinky so I can look at it for reference. But there's something I teach screenwriting at Columbia University in the grad school, and there's something I always write at the end of my syllabus, at the beginning of every year. I put it at the very end, which is revel in the joy and risk of what it is you're meant to be doing. And I think that's a good mantra for a creative person.